I got an announcement to make this morning. We had a new couple come to the class, and they had some trouble. She is bearing a child, and it's 3 months early, and she's having labor pains, and it won't stop. And so they're waiting on the child to come now. Their name is Richard, and let me think of her name. Karen? Rebecca? Sarah.
She got a long name, doesn't
she? Yeah. I think I got the last name right. Is it Fries?
Fry.
So I want you to be in prayer for them. They said they're going to name the baby Casey. And so hopefully Casey will come into the world today. And it'll be a joyous day. But we covet your prayers. We have three Bible studies. And one's on the south side of Huntsville, one's on the west side of Huntsville, and one's on the east side of Huntsville. And so we're slowly surrounding the city. We're planning a major attack. Okay. So if you have anybody that's in Huntsville, around Huntsville would like to have a Bible study to come to, we would be happy to have them. Now, my wife asked me what I was going to wear to preach in. I said, well, I'm sure not going to wear nothing controversial. I am not going to do that because I don't want no problems, you know. Dad, what's this on my leg? My goodness, what is that? Oh, it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's nothing. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is not a controversial scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I know this has been preached a lot, and I don't think it can be preached too much. Am I not talk louder? I can do that, ask Mary Jo. She knows I can get loud. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I know it hadn't been preached, you know, too much, and it never can be preached too much. And it's always something new, you know, when you open the Word of God. It always amazes me, just about every time I teach a Bible study, the Lord's teaching me. And it's just like it's new, every day it's new. It's like a guy in Pensacola, Florida, he had his hat on the ground. And he started screaming at the top of his lungs, it's alive, it's alive. And he's going round, round that hat saying, it's alive, it's alive. And crowds started getting around. He said, it's alive, it's alive. And then he picks up his hat, and there's a King James Bible. It is, ain't it? Ain't it amazing how when you pick up this book, it's always something new, never nothing old. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which, now watch, I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what, now watch, I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, if you read right after this, I want you to pay close attention to what He says right after this in verse 5. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present. But some have fallen asleep. Now watch real carefully. After that He was seen of James. Now this is the Lord's brother, okay? He's already mentioned the 12. We were seen of James, and I want you to see this. Then of all the apostles, you see? James, the Lord's brother. At last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, I want you to, in the context, Paul mentions all that seen him. But he says, out of all that seen him, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive. Now that's going to be my context, and that's what I want you to see And that's what I hope to end up with here. Look in Acts, the book of Acts. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, he chooses Peter. And Peter's a spokesman there. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter's gospel is to repent and be baptized. I want you to notice too that, or if anybody can in here, I'd like to see that, where that's underneath the law. I know Jesus Christ first started it underneath the law, but it's not in Moses' law. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not in Moses' law to repent and be baptized. Jesus Christ is the prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Moses said, there's going to come a prophet likened unto me. Hear ye him. Jesus Christ is a prophet. And Jesus Christ, after Acts, Matthew chapter 13, is prophesying of things to come. And he says even before that to the nation of Israel, Moses said, but I say unto you. And he amplifies the law there. And in Acts chapter 13, according to John, he takes his disciples aside and he teaches them privately. And he explains to them the mysteries of the parables, which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching, repent and be baptized. Also, I know that in Acts chapter 1, Peter don't know where the kingdom's going to come or where it's not. In Acts chapter 1, look in Acts chapter 1. After Jesus Christ spake with them for 40 days concerning the things of the kingdom, they had a question for Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Well, we know by sitting here, we've got the whole book, the complete Word of God. We know it's not going to happen. But they don't. Peter don't have the knowledge that you have in your hand today. He has no idea where it is or where it ain't. And Jesus Christ put it in such a way that he didn't know. Look in verse 6. Therefore, we'll come together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Well, he didn't say, yeah, or no, did he? So Peter has no idea. So I know Peter is thinking, it's coming. And especially think it's coming when he sees that of Acts chapter 2. Look in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Could you imagine that in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we see 3,000 people get saved? Wouldn't that be something? Peter, I think that Peter thought that the kingdom is coming. I believe Peter had no doubt about that. Go to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, look at verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So that's 5,000 there. Go to Acts chapter 4, and look in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Well, there were multitudes there. 4,000, 5,000, multitude. Well, was it working? Looks to me like it was, don't you? Look like it was happening. Come to chapter 5. And chapter 5, look at verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. We're talking about multitude after multitude after multitude that are coming to the Lord there at Jerusalem. It looks to me like the program is being successful here, does it not to you? And then you come over here to, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is struck down. But you know something? I believe that in Acts chapter 9, that Acts chapter 10 is happening too. I believe it's simultaneously. I believe that as Acts chapter 9 is going on, Acts chapter 10 is happening. You know why? Because the Lord has it all worked out. He knows what's going to happen, and He knows Peter, and He knows everything about Peter, and He knows what Peter's going to do. because he knows his heart. I heard somebody talking about the effectual working, you know, up here. And, you know, Peter had an effectual working towards the Jews. And he was effectual in this. You know, salvation is something that's effectual. When I got saved, it affected me effectual. It affected all my emotions. I'm not never going to get saved again. You know why? Because I got effectually saved. And I think that what happened to Peter, that which was in Peter, was affectionately, and it was affectionately towards the Jews. And God Almighty knew that. And it was working great. It was working fine. And I believe that Peter would have probably never left out of there. And God probably knew it too. And so God Almighty called this man Paul, and he gave him the gospel to the Gentiles because he knew something wrought effectually in that man. And so when he's doing this, and I think I heard Brother Jerry say this at the last Bible conference. I believe that's in Acts chapter 10 is more for Peter than it was for Cornelius. I believe it was more for Peter. Peter didn't know what was going on. But you know, the Lord, he as it was showed Peter that the Jews were cleansed. And he showed him that you're not underneath the law. In Acts chapter 10. Look in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw and opened, and a certain vessel descended upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Peter's saying right there that he never broke the law any. What's the Lord trying to show him there? Trying to show him that Leviticus chapter 11 is no more. The dietary laws are gone, and he's trying to show him that the Gentiles are cleansed. "Whatsoever I cleanse, call that not thou common or unclean." Didn't he say that? And so what's God trying to do here? Well, there's something changing, ain't it? God Almighty is calling somebody, and he's calling the Apostle Paul, and he's calling the Apostle Paul for the work that he has. But you know, when he does call the Apostle Paul, there's controversy. And there's controversy everywhere the Apostle Paul went. But the controversy came from the Jews. Which Jews? The Jews that knew only Moses. That was the controversy that the Apostle Paul had in all of his travels. Now, if I go to look in chapter 11, after this, after God showed Paul and Peter, and Peter said, "I perceive that in every nation, he that worketh righteousness is accepted of him." Peter knew this, but there's something effectual working in Peter, although he knows this. And God revealed it to him, and there's something that Peter has in his heart, and it's bound in that man's heart, and he can't get rid of it. It's bound there, and he knows these truths. But yet, Peter, as it was, runs right straight out to the Gentiles, and he starts going to them preaching the gospel. He don't do that, do he? Peter didn't run to the Gentile, did he? Am I the only one that reads Acts? Yeah. Did I do something wrong? Are you sure? Got you, didn't I? Yeah. I know all you Alabama fans in here. Well, listen, Peter didn't do that, did he? Look in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 17, Peter explains. He goes to those of reputation. They call him in there and they said, "Hey, listen, you went to this uncircumcised man and we see that you went to him." And so Peter explains to them everything that happened. How that Cornelius, a just man, a Gentile, that feared God in all
his house was sent an angel. And this angel told Peter, Cornelius to send some men to Peter. And Peter seen the vision that God had, showing him that whatsoever thou hast called common, whatsoever he has cleansed, not called common or unclean. And so Peter sees the vision. Peter goes, and so Peter explains this in Acts chapter 11. So in Acts chapter 11, look in verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, whom believeth on the Lord Jesus, that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Panias and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to all the Gentiles. This is a New English Bible. Y'all don't have New English Bibles? No, just to the Jews. You know why? Because something wrought effectual in Peter. Something wrought effectual in these people. I believe God knows this. God uses what everybody has. God uses everybody in this room with what you got. And God knows how to amplify that, don't he? God knows how to work that. And so they go just to the Jews. And so he calls this man Paul. And Paul said, I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, and was buried, and rose again the third day. Now the Apostle Paul leaves. And the Apostle Paul, when he goes into the Gentile territory, which is in Lower Galatia, and he goes to the islands of Cyprus and Salamis, and he leaves there, and he goes up in Phrygia and Perga, and he goes up into these cities of Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, and then he comes back down again. And when he comes back down again, and he comes back down into the Antioch, where Paul comes to, there's something that happens when he comes into Antioch. And when he gets back into Antioch after doing all this, and you know what's amazing about me, about this? There's a guy named Barnabas. And Barnabas travels with him. Barnabas sees everything that the Apostle Paul did and was a part of it. Barnabas not only seen it, but was a part of it. And so Paul comes back to Antioch and has some problems. You know, but before Paul came back to Antioch, some things happened to him. Paul persecuted. Paul was stoned, the Bible says, right before he came back to Antioch. I mean, they stoned the Apostle Paul and drug him outside the city as supposing to be dead. Can you imagine that? And the man got up and went back into the city. We come up in this guy's yard, a friend of mine one time. He said, watch this. He went, this rooster come running and stopped. He said, watch this. And rooster come running again. He reached down and grabbed him a stick. He said, that rooster come running and jumped up to flog him, and he hit that rooster with a stick. And I mean, he beat that rooster, and he beat that rooster, and he beat that rooster, and he beat that rooster. I mean, it was like, wop, 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 beating that rooster. He grabbed a hold of the feet of that rooster, walked up into the woods, and I watched it. Man, blood was just pouring out of the head of that rooster. I mean, I thought, man, I mean, he killed that rooster. So we're in the kitchen, we're drinking coffee. We hear something go, ear. He said, no. And he looked out the window, and there's that rooster. Remind me of the Apostle Paul when they stoned him, drug him out. I can see the blood running from his head, can't you? They supposed he was dead. I mean, they didn't pick him up and carry him. I mean, he was so dead, he was dead, and they dragged him outside the city. You know, Paul gets right back up and goes back in the city. Why? I believe it has to do with 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or 12 there, where Paul said, I know a man in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, which caught up to a third heaven. I believe Paul seen that, and Paul wanted to go there, and he didn't care. He had no fear. But here's this man that's been persecuted for Christ. He's going up to these men in Jerusalem that were persecuted for Christ.
You do know that Peter and them were put up in front of the Sanhedrin Council, the same ones that put Christ to death. Can you imagine that? You watch somebody being crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and then all of a sudden they put you up in front of them too? Well, I ain't going to tell you what I'd be running down the back of my britches. But you know, the Lord said He'd give Peter what to say in that hour. I can understand that. I don't think no human in that hour could ever muster up what to say. But the Lord was behind all of it all. The Lord knows what's going on. And so there's some guys that come up. And I hadn't read it in Acts chapter 12, 13, 14. But in every city they went into, Jews were bringing persecution on them. And they were bringing persecution upon Paul. And they were bringing persecution upon Barnabas for preaching the gospel that they were preaching. And when they got to Antioch, there were some more there waiting on them. Look in Acts chapter 15. Now we're going to be going between Acts chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 2. Just so you'll know, and Acts chapter 15 is Luke's account of what happened. And Galatians chapter 2 is Paul's account in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. And so we're going to be going back and forth, take Galatians in one hand and Acts chapter 15 in the next. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." So what it's all about is the law and the circumcision of the law. Verse 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Now, who is doing this? Is it not Paul and Barnabas? Is it not? Barnabas is in there, ain't he? Look in verse 4. "And when they were come to Jerusalem," Paul and Barnabas, "were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done unto them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and commanded them to keep the law of Moses." Now they were commanding them to keep them all, the law of Moses. You see that? Verse 6. "And the apostles and elders came together for consider this matter." Matter of what? People commanding them to keep the law of Moses. Look in verse 7. "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And putting no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke," the law, "a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor were we able to bear?" You can't bear the law. The Bible says in Galatians over there that the law is not of faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. And so this is a matter about the law. Look at verse 11. "But when we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Peter plainly said in his own mouth that he believed in grace, didn't he? It's the grace of Zechariah chapter 12. Amen. It's that grace right there. It's a spirit of supplication that they're going to have. And it has to do with the grace. Listen, folks, ain't nobody ever been saved by the law. Never will they will be. And ever will they will be. Do you realize that Jesus Christ wasn't saved by the law? He kept it perfectly. There's not nothing that he didn't do. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as it was, in prayer. And he said, "Lord, if it be any other way, take this from me." Listen, he done everything that was physically possible to be saved, if he could be saved, doing good and being good. But that wasn't good enough for God. You know why? You cannot be saved by the law. Years ago, I determined I'm not going to let anybody put me underneath the law.
And I'll be friends. I got pastor friends that are Baptists. I got some holiness friends and stuff like that. But listen, if they start this thing about the law, that's where we separate. That's where we lock horns right there. Has nothing to do with the law. Never has it been. Nobody's ever been saved underneath the law and by keeping it. You're saved by grace. And every man that ever was saved is saved by grace. No man ever deserved to be saved. And ever will be. Not even the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to do it by faith. My Savior was saved by faith. You know how you're going to be saved? Give you three guesses. First two don't count. Has nothing to do with your works. But look what Paul says about this. Hang on to Acts chapter 15 and look in Galatians. Galatians. Because of my time, I can't go too much into this. But like I said, study this. Acts is Luke's account. Galatians is Paul's account. Look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, I confer not with flesh and blood. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Peter, and Paul, first thing he did, he didn't go to the 12. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. And so I believe Paul went into Arabia probably 3 years there. And the Lord taught him, probably up on the Mount of Nebo, where he taught Moses. And in verse 18, then after 3 years, that's the 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But none of the apostles saw none, same James, the Lord's brother. Now notice, when I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, remember me telling you about James and the Lord's brother? Well, when he goes up there, he sees James, the Lord's brother, and Peter. The rest of them were afraid of Paul. They wouldn't have nothing to do with Paul. They hid themselves from Paul. And Paul went in and out of there preaching the gospel until it got so bad that he left. And when he left, they said that the cities had rest. And so when Paul goes back down, he goes back down in Acts chapter 13, and he takes some funds for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. And then he leaves and he goes into Galatia and stays into Galatia for a period of time. I believe that in Acts chapter 10 is like 8 years after Christ's death. I believe that. Do I know? Oh, okay. 8 years after Christ's death, somewhere like that there. And then I believe that in what we're reading here, that's in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, I believe that's probably A.D. 46, somewhere in that vicinity. And Paul is going up to them to discuss the matter that's in Corinthians chapter 15. So in verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I had run or should run or had run. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, the wires brought in, whom came in privately to despite our liberties, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. Now this is what I want you to see. Now, the truth of the gospel. You see that? The truth of the gospel. I want you to see what the truth of the gospel is. He said that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these whom seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they whom seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul knew the law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew all that. They added nothing to Paul. But contrarywise, in other words, Paul added something to them. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought affectionately in Peter, effectually in that man. This man was affectionately with his heart, with his soul, affectionately towards the Jews.
And God Almighty knew that, knew Peter's the best man for that job. And then he picked Paul. Why? Because Paul had affection for the Gentiles, and he picked the best man for the job. And there was two jobs going on there, and he picked the best man for each job. And they realized that, and Acts chapter 15, they gave each other the right hand of fellowship. Are you listening to me? The right hand of fellowship that they should do this. You know, I believe that we're in the ministry. I really don't believe we have ministries. I believe it's the ministry. And we're all part of the ministry. I believe Jesus Christ has a ministry. And I'm a part of that ministry. And I believe that you are. And when I do anything that's wrong to hurt the ministry, I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to be brought up for that. Sure ain't going to be for my sins, is it? They're gone, ain't they? Thank God. But when I hurt the ministry, I believe that's going to be the work. And it says in the book of Ephesians that preachers and teachers and apostles, what are they for? They're to teach the congregation to do the work of the ministry. What are you doing in the ministry? What have you done lately in the ministry? What have you done to help the ministry? Wherever it may be, we're part of that ministry. Paul said that the ministry not be blamed. Paul watched what he done. You know why? He didn't want to hurt the ministry. We're all in this together, folks. All of us are in it together. When one of you hurt, we all hurt. It's the ministry. You know, he says here, that was what Paul was to do, and they're all in the ministry. It's called God's household. This is God's household. And there are different ones in that household that have different jobs. And Peter's job was different than Paul's. Come down to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who? You remember what I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Who was there? James, Cephas, the 12. And when James, Cephas, and John, whom seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision, only we would remember the poor, the same which I was a forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, there he is again, he did eat with the Gentile, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled themselves likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas... Now, Barnabas went with Paul, did all those miracles, did all those things with the Apostle Paul. Now, look what Barnabas does. It says that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. You know, that just freaks me out. He got carried away with the whole thing. Verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to, here it is, the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of a Gentile, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And most people stop right here. Who is the we of verse 15? That's Peter and Paul. Listen, when he says this, we who are Jews by nature and not the sinners of the Gentiles, he's still talking to James, he's still talking to that whole group of assembly there, and he's talking to Peter. And when he says over here in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I believe Paul is preaching as hard as he can in front of all those Jews, and he's preaching in front of Peter, he's preaching in front of the pillars of the church and everything, and he's preaching Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 on through. And I believe it stops right there in verse 3 when Paul changes the context and says, oh, foolish Galatians. But until that time, Paul is preaching to them, and he won't allow any of that to go, that the truth of the gospel might be gone. And so those, when Paul said, I deliver unto you, first of all, it's the truth of the gospel. We're not underneath the law. Paul's the first to preach that. Thank God for my apostle. Thank God that I hadn't got a be religious and try to keep the law. Thank God I can be me. It's hard being me, but thank God I can.